important for two reasons. One, short term, which is creating and keeping jobs in the United States, and two, long term, for our global competitiveness. In the short term, it really supplements and not supplants existing workers in the United States. There are a number of areas and specialties where it's really difficult to find talent, and so the H-1B visa process is an opportunity to get that talent in the United States and keep those jobs here. For the long term, it's really effective in protecting America's global competitiveness. Those positions and students who are trained in the United States are in the deep demand all around the world, and this is an opportunity for United States companies to keep those well-trained, specialized workers here.
And if you look at the list of companies that tend to support this, it seems like software design, software engineering and programming is the main area that these visas are applied to. Is that the case, or what other disciplines are involved?
Yes, it's usually people who are in highly technical specialties. And so there are two things to keep in mind. One, that these workers typically make up 0.07% of the U.S. workforce, so it's a really small percentage. For the most part, those positions are filled by U.S. workers. But in those instances where it's difficult to find people who can meet the qualifications that we need or that those companies require, then these workers supplement existing workers. For example, in electrical engineering, some 50% of those who receive masters in electrical engineering are international students. Some 75% of those who receive PhDs are international students. And so it only makes sense to keep that talent here for the immediate term to support the needs of U.S. companies.
And there's always been a desire on the part of people who are in the technology industry, including, you know, one of the lead, proponents of this was Bill Gates at Microsoft, to increase the cap of H-1B visa holders. What's your view on that?
I think it makes sense. You know, rather than set a number that in some senses is arbitrary, what makes the most sense is to have a system based on the marketplace. And so the number of H-1B visas would fluctuate depending on marketplace need.
And has the downturn in the economy, and that's hit the tech sector, has that cooled the demand a little bit this year, or is it still pretty much level from the past few years?
The numbers aren't in yet, but the likelihood is that it will have cooled. The other impact is that in many instances, people will be applying for folks who are already on their payroll. And so people who either went through the process before and haven't gotten a final clearance, or who've been working with them part-time or otherwise during their educational career, who are now moving on from their education and they would like to keep and retain those workers in the United States. One of the things that the president has pledged is to create or retain 10 million jobs over the next 5 years. The H-1B visa process actually helps to advance that goal by keeping jobs of people trained in the United States, maintaining those jobs here.
We're talking this morning to Dean Garfield, president of the Information Technology Industry Council. You could look at it that way, and you could also say that there are people in the United States who should be trained to take the kind of jobs that you're talking about. And are we really just looking at a failing of education, or why is the United States not turning out enough electrical engineers and programmers to meet the need here?
Our industry has long supported investing more resources in science, math, engineering, education, particularly at the lower school, high school level. That's a long-term solution that we strongly support. In fact, we sent a letter to congressional leadership this week advocating those things. But in the immediate term, there is certainly a demand for workers in those areas. And so until that pipeline is filled, it's important that we have the resources that are necessary. The other thing that I'll note very quickly is that the H-1B visa process and workers who are hired through the H-1B really do supplement and end up creating jobs within the United States. Most of the research indicates that for each H-1B visa job, there are support jobs that surround it, typically at least five jobs. And so it's not the instance where you're making the pie smaller, taking away a job from an American, you're actually creating more opportunities, both in the immediate term through the jobs that are created and in the long term through the innovation that results from those people.
And the other side of that argument is that these are exactly the kind of people that we would want in the United States, that this is the kind of, you know, person who has a great education, has a promising career, that if we are going to invite people into the United States to work here or to live here, that these are the kind of people that we should be going after.
Absolutely. In fact, ultimately, the best policy would be to stamp a green card to every master's and PhD in science, math, and engineering. I think doing that would ensure the long-term competitiveness of the United States. The thing we have to keep in mind is in this globally integrated economy is people move all around the world based on what makes the most sense financially and infrastructure-wise. And so it's critical for the United States to keep up to be able to attract those kind of people.
And you mentioned that 70% of the PhDs are foreign-born, so this is it's going to take a while probably for our country to turn that statistic around. This is a long-term effort it would require.